This episode is brought to you by Sorella Styles and Cove. We are happy to have them on board, making this show a possibility.
Thank you! Thank you!
Thank you, Sorella and Cove!
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Let me show you.
Love is love if you don't have to make a family by taking a traditional ride. If these ovaries could talk, you would say.
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we
stay.
Hi.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Rob.
This is our 100th episode.
Holy moly.
Wait. Before we talk about this being the 100th episode, Jamie, we have that thing to talk about from last week's episode, Sperm Donors and Online Groups.
We got some feedback, guys.
On both
we
sides.
Did. We had a feeling we would get some feedback on that episode, and you spoke. And we're here to, we kind of want to discuss it a little bit because we think it's important to share other people's thoughts and also our thoughts on the episode and why we shared the episode in the first place.
Yeah, and because we want everyone to feel heard. So if like anybody was hurt on either side of the conversation, we want to make sure they... You know, we want to explain how intentional we are with these conversations.
Yes.
Like, so this woman who was a donor conceived child, she's an adult who was donor conceived, reached out to us and she was, I would say, upset. Jamie, would you say?
I would say that. I would say she was upset that we even aired the episode.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, she said, and I'll read this, giving Adam a platform to promote his unregulated and open sperm donation group is incredibly risky and damaging to the future children who are created via this process. Adam boasted that his way was much less psychologically damaging than traditional sperm donation, yet also stated that in the past 4 years he has donated at least 15 times. There is some serious cognitive dissonance going on there. She went on to say later, it was a long email, and we're going to address everything. But and then she went on to say, in the end, your laissez-faire attitude towards your own donor-conceived children and other donor-conceived children is extremely disappointing.
Ooh, that one didn't sit well for me. But
no, that was a tough one to hear.
And she also talked about certain ways of building a family are unethical, and we should use our platform to promote safe family-building ways, and that we should be advocating for more regulations, not less. So,
you know, thank you for reaching out. We encourage everybody to please reach out. If you have strong feelings about anything, we want to hear. And we're gonna do our best to let everybody be heard.
Yeah. And we wrote her back a thoughtful, you know, we really talked it over and wrote back a thoughtful response. But in essence, we want to say that there are a lot of people building their families in different ways. And what we said is Jamie and I are not here to judge anyone. Our mission of this podcast, which we've said many times, is to celebrate our families, to lift us up, and to show representation of all the different ways that we make families.
And that there are so many ways.
So many different ways. And we want everyone to share their story, and they should all be valid. Now, we did put a disclaimer at the top of the episode because, and I felt very strongly about this because anyone who listens to this podcast knows that I'm all about making sure you're legally protected because I don't trust anyone. But we put that up front being like, just make sure you're doing all the proper testing if you're going to go this route. We were kind of like, you know, look, there's a lot of people doing this. Like, if you're going to do it, then you need to do medical testing, put all the legal things in place. And that's why we put that disclaimer there, because, you know, we're not trying to say this way is the best way. We're not giving our opinions.
No, we're not giving our opinions. And even when we put that disclaimer up, it was important for me to also say, but if this is the way you want to go about it, go about it that way. This is your choice. It's your life. And we are not going to judge.
No, this is not 2020.
Anyone.
This is not like an investigative journalism show.
We don't do gotcha journalism. We're not going to give somebody a platform to come speak to us on our podcast and then make them feel bad for what they're doing, A. And B, us giving the disclaimer up front could make those who've gone down this path
feel bad.
The way that he make them feel bad, and we don't want to make anybody feel bad. This happens, and we wanted to share the story.
I was surprised at how many people commented on our posts saying they built their family that way.
Uh-huh.
Like, way more than I thought. So, and that's one of the reasons we thought it was important to put Adam's episode up, is because if all these people are doing it, we want them to be educated, and we thought this episode would be a tool for them to have more information on what these groups are like and who's running them and who's regulating them, how regulated they are or aren't.
Be in the know.
Yeah.
Just to be in the know. We wanted to highlight it so everybody could be in the know. And on the note of us being laissez-faire about our own donor-conceived children, I just want to say that couldn't be farther from the truth. We created an entire podcast about how we make our donor-conceived children. Yep. We go into this with every kind of intention you can imagine, and we worry all the time if our children are going to turn out okay.
And we did a whole episode with a therapist talking about how to disclose information. We talk about it regularly. So that part was tough to hear because
it hurt.
That we talk about it a lot and we are so intentional in our parenting. And so it's like, you know, come on, guys. Like, we are going to make jokes and we're going to laugh at stuff, even hard stuff. Like, that is what it is.
That's kind of who we are.
But what was interesting was after we talked about it and we did everything, we get a message from somebody in Australia who had a totally, completely opposite response. And she said, I think it's important to keep in mind that Australia is very different to the US, though I'm aware you acknowledge this and mentioned he wants to take it more global. The law here protects us. We don't need a legal agreement for home artificial insemination. Our donor will have no legal grounds for parental claim if he did happen to change his mind. And we also know he's happy to answer questions our future kid might have and to be donor for any siblings. She said the bonuses are that you have fresh sperm, no clinic, and especially when the clinics are designed for heterosexual, and they saved a lot of money. And that there's another factor in Australia that in the decision here in Australia, you can't buy frozen sperm for at-home conception.
Yeah. And she did say in the beginning of the email that she was disappointed in our disclaimer in the beginning because it made her feel judged.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, we're trying our best to keep everybody's voices out there and not judge. But everybody's going to take their own opinions and come home with a different thought.
Yeah, and I saw some other feedback in one of the groups where someone said, it sounds like I just was asking, you know, I said something like, I'd be nervous to create my family this way, but has anyone done it? And somebody wrote back, sounds like you're judging. And it's just like, I think all these like responses on both sides highlight this really narrow path that you and I are trying to walk, where we highlight these different ways in a responsible way. And
we're trying.
And that's what we're trying to do.
We're trying to be responsible about this, and we're trying to be very intentional about this.
I think we are being intentional and responsible, personally.
Yeah, but nobody's perfect, and you know, I'm not saying we messed up, but everybody's gonna take what they will from each episode, and we definitely encourage you to reach out to us. But if there is an episode that is controversial, as this one seems to be, we're gonna discuss it, and we're gonna give you our thoughts on that.
Yeah. And we'll always be coming from the place of providing information, highlighting our families, and then just telling you, like, maybe check into this so that you're doing something responsibly. Like, that's always where we're coming from. But for the most part, we're just trying to, like, show our families off because we're fabulous.
Because they're beautiful. They're so beautiful.
All right. Well, should we get to the 100th episode, Jamie? Should we just?
Yes.
And we feel whole and complete?
Yes. It's a celebration, guys. 100 episodes.
Oh, my God. 100 episodes. All right. Here we go.
So exciting.
Can you believe we made 100 episodes?
I can't. I really can't. But it does make sense because they're starting to run together sometimes. And I have to like go back and listen to remember some of the episodes, which I never thought would happen because there's so many.
I feel like they're our little friends. And like, I'm always like, oh, like they become our little friends.
I know. As soon as I turn it on, it takes me right back to the moment when we were sitting with them or Zooming with them. And,
yeah.
You know.
100 episodes. I mean, like, Jamie, when we had that first conversation, did you think it would be 3 years later, a book, all this would have happened, like a lot of awards we didn't win? Like, did you think this would be happening?
Absolutely not. And a couple of awards that we did win, Robin, you got to put that
in. We won one.
Two.
What two?
Well, we're Webby Award honorees.
Oh, we were an honoree and one winner.
Oh, and
that's pretty good.
Oh, I forgot. I won an award for myself. Oh,
excuse me.
For my voiceover work during that time.
Oh, yeah. I didn't win any other awards. I did get a family commercial, though.
You did. So we're all winners, except we just lost. So I feel like our winning streak is over. But we have done 100 episodes. So that's a win.
I can't even believe it. And so today we're having special guests, Jamie.
Oh,
who are they?
Yeah, it's already awkward because they've been sitting here listening. They're never here in the room, and now I feel weird that they're sitting here listening. It's our wives.
Dun, dun, dun. It's our wives, and you know we talk about them, but the only way we talk about them is sort of just like Mary's mad at me, and then we just keep talking. Like we don't really say anything about it. So I was thinking maybe we should do like a proper introduction. I want to hear how you introduce Anne.
What?
Yeah, you go first.
You're putting me on the spot here.
You go first.
Introduce my wife.
Yeah. How would you introduce her?
I feel like everybody knows so much about Anne at this point. So my wife is here. She's the mother to my children. A wonderful, wonderful mother. Super loving.
I wish everyone could see Anne's eye rolls.
If you're on Patreon, you
She's doing a superb job at her patience during this COVID time.
I feel like this is very different from what I usually hear about myself on the podcast. Because one thing that sticks out with me is true. I'm a bad driver.
I never said bad driver. That. You actually were a really wonderful driver yesterday. We went apple picking. It was really fun. And that's
what does she do for a living?
Well, she works at a high school. She is dean of lower school. I'm saying it wrong. She's looking at me with. She's just got a new. It's a new title. I don't even know what it is anymore.
Fix it, Anne. What's your title?
Director of lower school.
Director of lower school.
That is anyway.
It sounds fancy to me.
It's like, well, I am fancy. Like, it sounds like something from Hogwarts, right?
Oh, you fancy, huh?
She's so fancy.
Something from Hogwarts.
Queen's people are very fancy, you know?
She's so fancy. Yeah, so she works in a high school. She works hard, so I can play.
Okay.
And Robin, tell us about your wife.
All right, my wife, Mary Littell, is sitting right here. And
she just pulled lint off her shirt.
I thought that was a nice thing to do, but it wasn't.
But I feel like you did that just for the purposes of showing.
No, I looked over and I saw the lint and then I couldn't live with it. So
that sums up our relationship, by the way.
Girl. Oh, there it
is. All right. So Mary is my supportive lady who let me quit my job in December. And she was working in Broadway advertising as a graphic designer. And then Broadway went away. But it's coming back.
It's coming probably. Back.
Only way to go is up. And now she does graphic design on very important things like Zyrtec. And she's loving that.
And she's an amazing graphic designer because she also designed what?
Our logo.
Which Your we entire get
brand.
Still.
She is, yes, she is our brand designer.
We still get compliments all the time on our logo.
Oh my God. When Amy Schumer posted about the book, like people were like, but that logo, like there were so many things about the logo and the book cover.
Yeah.
It's good.
Mm-hmm. And then I circle them and send them to her from the other room. Via text.
I know. You guys are always texting each other, which I think is funny.
We're in different rooms.
Yeah.
So that's Mary. Welcome, guys.
Hi.
Thanks for coming.
Oh, like she said, I was just in the other room. You never go too far.
I know. Where does anyone get to go these days?
Also, thanks for coming. They really had no choice.
I know.
We basically told them, so we had this cool idea. You're in.
And both of them were like, oh, I haven't been listening to the last season because you were sick of you.
Yeah.
I was like, are they going to see me? Do I have to shower?
Welcome to our lives.
Mary was like, can you cut my hair? And then she was like, forget it. It's too late. It's almost dry. So that's how that went this morning.
Yeah. I mean, come on, guys. We're living the COVID life. There's no effort put in. Actually, I did. I put makeup on today. I finally found it. I had lost it for a week. But I found
your makeup.
And she was secretly blaming our daughter.
I wasn't
for it.
Secretly blaming our daughter. I was literally blaming our daughter. I thought she had taken my makeup. I have a little bag of makeup that I use and I couldn't find it.
Where was it?
Right where I always put it underneath something.
Of course.
But I really, really thought she had taken it. And she kept saying, no, Mom, I didn't. I really didn't. I swear.
Well, you
and
were,
I
was like accusing really? Her right to her face.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. And Rose is like, no, I laugh when I lie. I'm not laughing.
Yeah.
I'm not lying.
All right, Robin, I want to tell everyone about Sorella Styles. I love the origin story of this new clothing line. So this family created their clothing line during the pandemic when they realized that it was really hard to get comfy clothes because everyone was buying them all up online. And so there was like a shortage of sweats.
Listen, it's hard to get sweats. I know. Tell me about it.
Right but now.
What I love about Sorella Styles is it's a family-based company in every sense of the word. Everyone in the family is involved, and the family's oldest daughter helped create all the designs that you're going to see on the clothes.
I know, they're cute. And Sorella Styles prides themselves on giving their customers quality apparel, which is very important. Sorella Styles offers comfortable sweaters, t-shirts, leggings, and sweatpants. And during coronavirus time, sweats are the new business suits. Let's be mm-hmm, clear there. Mm-hmm.
That is true.
They also offer face masks that are better than the traditional generic ones you can get in the store.
I love the face mask. It's mm-hmm. made of this very, very soft material. I was just wearing it yesterday.
Nice.
Because that's the last time I left the house, for God's sake. So you never leave the house. And I'm wearing the t-shirt right now. And it's soft and comfy. And I had to steal it back from my son, who stole it from me. And they also produce custom items. So have you ever had that one family saying that you wish was on a t-shirt for the whole family to wear. You could just email SorellaStyles@yahoo.com and they can get to work on it.
Yeah. All of their products are made and shipped in the USA, and they offer free shipping on all orders, $50 or more.
Amazing. Sorella Styles is offering, guess what, guys, 10% off your total order with the promo code OCT. So you're just going to visit SorellaStyles.com to redeem your 10% off, and you're going to get comfortable immediately.
Yes, you are. It's SorellaStyles.com. All the clothing and comfort to make you smile.
Sweatpants.
Get that smile on.
Sweatpants.
Get it.
So what do you guys think about 100 episodes, you two?
I think it's an amazing. I remember back when you were about 20 episodes and I was like, this can't go on. Like, how many times can we talk about, you know, in vitro?
Right.
Like, I did. I don't anymore because it's like I will give you ideas for something. You're like, maybe in two seasons from now.
Because we're very booked. Busy.
We have people for next season and maybe the next season after that. I was like, okay.
It's true. We have too many now.
I know. It's so many people are emailing us their stories. And then like there's a group of people who send me news stories too. Anytime anybody gay has a baby, we get emails.
Anything noteworthy, somebody will send me now.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Anne?
I think I'm in the same boat as Mary. Like, how many gay people are there to interview about having a baby? Like,
so many.
There's a lot. Yeah.
There are a lot. And it keeps going. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Everybody wants to share their story.
And they're all different. Yeah. Like, I thought it would get tired because they'd be like the same, right?
They're
just the same story. Like, how many times do you want to listen to that over and over again? But everything is so different and unique. I'm surprised happily.
Oh, yeah. That's sweet.
We recorded Judy Gold's podcast, which hasn't come out yet. It's coming out in like a week or two. And she was like, you guys, she was like, you chose the most niche idea and look at it. And Jamie and I were like, I think that's a compliment.
She was like, I don't know how you did it. I don't. She said, because all I ever hear is that's not going to work. You can't talk about your gayness or something like that.
Yeah.
She was like, everybody keeps telling me, don't do that. That's too niche. Nobody's going to. And look at us. Look at us.
I know. And look at us. Here we are, 100 episodes. Well, so let's kick this off. We have a very special voice memo from a special lady reaching out to us about 100 episodes.
Oh, my goodness.
Should we play that?
Yeah, I'm going to play it right now. This is the best. You guys might not have heard this person's voice before, but I know it well.
Hello, ladies. I just heard that you have done 100 episodes. How great is that? Congratulations. 100 episodes. I have listened to everyone, and each one is different. There are no two stories that are alike. All heartwarming, charming stories of creating families, all different methods. Some of these stories were heartbreaking events, but all your podcasts are filled with love and laughter, sometimes tears, but always presented in an upbeat way. You know, I'm a straight old lady who had two kids the, quote, normative way, as Jamie says. But I find your stories informative, educational, and delightful on so many levels. You're good storytellers. True stories about unusual ways to create loving families. It's all very educational. Congratulations on 100 episodes. I think your podcast is destined to be around for many hundreds more. And your book is just the first of many to come. Continue doing your good work. Thanks.
Aw, Mama Sue.
That's my mom.
Mama Sue.
I feel like she sounds like Oprah a little bit.
She sounds like a history teacher.
She said, because she's always saying this to me on the phone all the time. And finally, last night, she was saying it again on the phone. And I said, Mom, you're going to hang up right now. You're going to make a voice memo. And she said, okay, but you know I'm not putting any ums in there. I'm going to make sure it is. But what did she say? She doesn't want to sound. Doesn't it sound like she's reading? But I don't think she was reading.
It did sound like she might have scripted that. I love that, though.
But that's my
mom.
What
a nice lady your mom is.
She's like our biggest fan. besides our wives.
She really is. She really is.
She might be a bigger fan than our
wives. I think she's probably a bigger fan than our wives. They're both just like, okay.
I know.
Let's talk about some favorite moments. Who wants to go first and who has a favorite moment in our 100 episodes? Who's going first?
The family, I don't remember their names. Yeah, but there's a couple hundred of them, right? If we're dealing with couples.
Explain them to us and then we'll tell you. I know you are.
Well, you're cutting me off, though. I'm talking. I was going to. Like, okay. The couple, the female couple that adopted several kids, I think there was a cancer scare or mm-hmm. one of the kids was sick, but the way I think both of them at one point just like decided to take a kid without even consulting their partner, just like, we'll take them. Like, yeah. Like a free half gallon of milk at the store. Like, yeah, I'll take it. Great. I love milk. Right? That- and then you just like go home and like, oh, we got a new baby. Like, what the fuck? I mean, right. Jamie picked out pictures for the bathroom and I was like, you didn't even tell me. Like, I didn't even get to say if I like them. And their she partners are bringing them. Home babies.
Yeah.
That's Crystal and Kelly from season two.
Crystal and Kelly, ugh. Angels on Earth. And they have a lot of children and they've had even more children pass through their home because they did yeah. foster to adopt and they didn't yeah. adopt every single foster child. Some foster children were given back to their parents. One child did unfortunately pass away of mm-hmm. cancer, which was yep. really sad. But their story is one of mine. Too. My favorite.
Yeah. Get them always. Back on.
Yeah.
They were on our live stream. We had them on, which you can get on YouTube. They came back to tell us like, where are they now? Because yeah. they just adopted twins.
Yeah. Two more twins. So I don't even know how many kids they have in their house, but there's a lot of them.
700. But that episode, what I remember about that episode is just sitting there weeping.
We were crying.
Jamie and I in the same room, sitting in the room weeping. And it was video conference because they're in Texas and just listening to them tell their story. It was so heartbreaking, but I feel like they feel like friends. Like Crystal will email on Facebook and stuff. And I just love them.
They're like family. They text us. They texted yeah. us when they adopted the girls just yeah. a couple, mm-hmm. like a month ago or a month and a half ago.
Yeah. A couple months ago, I think. Maybe.
So
yeah.
we keep in contact with them and maybe we should have them back on to talk about what's going on.
I mean, we could have them on every day. They were so delightful.
So if you haven't listened to this episode, it's called Crystal and Kelly, Angels on Earth. And
it's just called Angels. It's just called Angels.
Okay, well, it should be called Angels on Earth, Robin.
We kept saying that throughout. You guys are angels on Earth.
It's a good episode, and they're wonderful, wonderful ladies.
I'm at a luncheon, and I get a call from that caseworker who we adore. And I'm like, hey, Ashley, how are you doing? She's like, good. I go, I hope you're calling me to tell me that B's coming home. And she said, no, I wish I was. She goes, but however, she goes, I have a 10-month-old who's an adoption placement little boy. Are you interested? And I said, yeah, we'll take him.
And it was like,
I didn't even call
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Like, so this is how we get our children. We don't talk it over. We're like, absolutely. We'll take in more.
Oh my God.
We'll take him. Mary, give us your first favorite moment.
I think it was going to Rosie's house when they interviewed Rosie O'Donnell. I got to go and pretend to be like, what was that? What
you were
was
supposed it? To be what our I, like our associate producer.
Oh, we yeah, had this
like,
whole
I was like, just give me a clipboard or something and let me look like it's some, there's a reason for me to be there.
And you were gonna film so that we could have video footage right. that
it
happened.
Well, then, it actually ended up being helpful because I was able to record the whole thing. But I have always loved her. Yeah. Like when I was like when she had her show that was on in the afternoons, mm-hmm. like in the 90s or whenever that was, early 90s. And I was a freelancer and I was working at home and like I would go for like a week and not even talk to anybody. I remember going to the post office once and the lady said hi to me and I was like, oh my God, she can see me. I was like, this is how sad my life was. So, but every day I would get up and I would watch her
show. Just for clarity, that's before I met Mary. Because otherwise I sound really bad in that.
No.
But so she was like my friend because then she would come on every day and she would talk about, you know, squirrels on her roof and, you know, mm-hmm. going to Italy and whatever it was she was talking about. But it was so, I was like, she is like my best friend.
I'm the same. I was like that with The View when she was on The View. I watched The View yes. religiously. As soon yeah. as Rosie left, I was over that show.
But what was so funny is like I was so adamant because like I worked at MTV for years and it was like I was raised in like the music and talent department where it was like you have to be very professional. You never take pictures. You never, you know, you just don't do that around artists. You have to act like it means nothing. So I was like, listen to me. I was like, if you're going to come, you can't. You're not my wife. I don't know you. You are associate producer. And I was like, you can't be weird. I was like, so don't, because I know she's like her best friend in Mary's head. And I was like, just don't like, I was like, can you do it? She's like, I got this. And we walk in, and go ahead, Jimmy. Tell it. We walk in.
Well, we were caught off guard right away because we walk in and the first thing she said to us was, so are you guys lesbians?
And we're like, yep.
Yeah, yep, and we were, yep. I think we were so caught off guard that Robin literally was like, oh yeah, we're lesbians and this is my wife right here.
It was like proof of purchase. This is my wife.
I can prove it.
I'm a lesbian. Do you want me to kiss her?
You need us to kiss?
I'm not kissing Jamie, but I'll kiss Mary. Yeah. She's my wife. She's got a clipboard.
We felt like we had to like prove our, I don't know. It was, we were just nervous. It was so funny.
I mean, you're standing in Rosie O'Donnell's freaking house. We were nervous.
Yeah.
And we were like crazy people. And then we left. And then we like finished interviewing and walked out. And also thank God Mary was there because she was able to like get all this cool footage that mm-hmm. was just like amazing to have. Then it's like we left and we were just like, so that happened.
Yeah.
We're like on the subway, like weirdos, just like laughing hysterically. Like, was we just at Rosie O'Donnell's house?
Yeah. Well, the foster care system is a mess and it needs to be burnt down and starting from the ground zero to rebuild the whole thing mm-hmm. so that there's more accountability. There are mm-hmm. 500,000 kids in foster care and only 300,000 licensed foster homes. So mm-hmm. that's 200,000 kids. And these are stats from years, you know, like a decade ago. So they're probably not accurately, but it's near this range and they just keep being moved around and then they age out and the amount of death and jail incarceration that happens to these kids is really shocking that the government gives you $1,000 if you're lucky in a yep. state that they do that and good luck out
and
in the world.
And set you on your way.
Yeah. You know, my show was on at the time, so they of course arranged for me to get to this place where the kids were in protective custody. And I brought gifts for the, you know, little beanie babies and jewelry. And I was talking to the older girl saying, you know, when I was a kid, there was a chance I would have been in a place like this. And I want you to know when you see people on TV, that could have been you, it can be you. And like they'd raise their hand and go, yeah, but do you know Ricky Martin? And I'd be like, okay.
He's gay.
Wait, yeah, he's gay. I would be like, I'm telling you, like, what, you know, my heart felt trying not to cry. You know, I would have been one of you kids. Do you think Drake is handsome? I'm like, oh, Jesus.
All right, do you want to go next, Jamie, with one of your favorite moments?
Sure. One of my favorite episodes is one that we just recently did during COVID lockdown, and it was the one titled Queer Collaboration, season 5, with Mia and Ronnie from the Transparency podcast, and their podcast is all about gay women of color. And we thought it was a really important episode to do because we were in the middle of a global pandemic and also a global racial pandemic. Mm-hmm. George Floyd, I think, had just happened when we recorded the episode. So that was hot on all of our minds. And we had a really important conversation about the intersectionality between being gay and then also being a person of color and being gay and how to talk to our children about the systemic racism that is happening in our country and how to talk to our children about race. And it's just the conversation really stuck out in my mind a lot after we did the episode.
What I loved about it was all of what you just said. You know, it felt like Jamie and I were both really struggling as like two white women, like how can we help and how can we be a part of the solution? And we were reading and showing things to our kids. And when they reached out, I immediately was like, this is like another way we can help. Like we can give a leg up to somebody who's new in the space.
And they had just started their podcast.
Yeah, they had just started. They'd only done one episode. And it was like, that felt like really important to be able to like say, get into this space and be a part of it and share the episode with them. But it was also just like, they were just like wonderful ladies. Like they were mm-hmm. just like they were both powerful in totally different ways. Mm-hmm. And I like Ronnie was like an educator, like we are in terms of like issues. And Mia was more like, you know, figure it out, come to the table prepared. I loved hearing that from both of them. Mm-hmm. And we could have talked to them for 2 hours. I mean, like many of our guests, but in them in particular, I could have talked to them for a couple hours.
Yeah. And I remember feeling nervous going into the conversation just because we're two white ladies and we don't want to say the wrong thing. And and they also said, you need to get over that. You know, you can't be perfect. We got to get messy in these conversations and we have to have these conversations.
Yeah.
One way to change it is by having these conversations. So we wanted to. But the thing that stuck out with me the most is they said in the episode that, and I kind of said this, that we have two pandemics going on and not everybody acknowledges the second pandemic.
Not everybody recognizes the first one.
Well, right.
And it's pretty much the same people.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And a big thing they said is, what are we going to do when the health pandemic is taken care of and there is a vaccine, but this other pandemic is still raging and has been raging since the beginning of time. And how are we going to work towards a better future for our kids? And so that's what the conversation was. And it was wonderful to hear their thoughts. And
let's play a clip from the episode so everyone can hear a little bit of it.
Love it.
You know, people don't think about the emotional labor that comes with those questions when talking about the, like, these police brutality, Black death, all these things are triggering for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think the first thing that if you are going to ask someone a question, I always say, don't come to my house empty-handed. Don't come to the table empty-handed. Like, do show me that you did something on your own. Like, I'm on top of, like, okay, I can fill in the gaps or add on my perspective, but I can't, or I don't want to have to teach you from ground zero. I want to know that you've done at least some of the work on your own. I think you also need to just evaluate your relationship with, you know, your Black friend or Black coworker or whoever before you just dive in the deep and, like, what do I do about racism?
Yeah, that's true, because that's, you know, not
specific. I'm so glad you asked me that, Mia.
Right.
I'm going to tell you. Ugh, those two. We love them.
All right, Robin, you want to share one?
Okay, so I will have one that was Stacey and Shin, like, doing a live show at the Green Space.
Oh, God. We were so WNYC. Nervous.
We were so nervous. It was our first live show. And also just, like, it was, like, Stacey and Shin, she was one of the earliest people we talked to that was, like, somebody that we knew and recognized. And she's, like, a powerhouse and a very dynamic person. And she also, like, really shoots straight at you. And so I was a little scared just for that. Like, we were going to say something stupid. Or, like, a friend of Mary's, actually, Jana and ours, and also was on the podcast, Jana and Linda from season one, said, listen, you just need to remember that Stacey and Chin is the kite, and you just got to hold on.
And that's literally what happened.
And it was. Mm-hmm. But right when we were, like, remember she walked in, she was a little bit late, and she was just, like, she came into the green room, and she was like, you two are, like, the most chill white motherfuckers that I've ever met. She's like, normally people be calling me, like, where are you? And she's like, and you two are just sitting back here. And I was like, and it didn't even occur to me to start calling her. Like, where are you?
She was sick. She had a cold and she was, like, hopped up on medicine too, she said. It was interesting. It was our first run-in with a famous person.
Yes, my favorite moment, and I'll play this right here, is a clip of when we first brought her onto stage. So I'm going to play this right now.
You're kind of watching the both of you and listening to it. What the fuck is wrong with them? But they have this, like, watchable quality. Like, I didn't move from the screen at all.
We're only going along with this, but nobody else thinks it's cool,
like,
right?
I just pulled.
Okay. It's not cool. CCN, if there's nothing we've taught you, is that we're not cool.
Oh, Stacey and Chin.
Oh, that was hilarious.
I was like, oh, God, where is she going to go with this? Where is she going to go? Where is she going to go? The whole time I was like, where is she going? Where is she going?
At least she said we were watchable and she loved us.
Yeah.
But, like, well, for a minute there, I was like,
Jamie's mom. So some of the context of the conversation was a little bit.
There was a lot of swearing.
For sitting next to Jamie's mom.
But my mom can handle that stuff. Like, she's not.
I didn't say your mom couldn't. I couldn't.
Oh, yes. That's right. Our friends Karen and Toby brought their daughter, who was 8 at the time. And Stacey and Chin did a very serious amount of talking. She kept saying carpet munching and things like that. And I was just like, oh, God. I was like, Edie's here.
But Edie is very mature for her age and, like.
Well, she is now.
And Edie even asked a question afterwards. She stood up and asked a question. It was really sweet.
It was.
Yes, she did.
But I don't think they'll be bringing her to any more live shows.
Maybe not.
Maybe
not.
Because we don't know where it's going to go ever.
I mean, she started off talking about pubes. Mm-hmm. Like, right out of the beginning of the interview.
She talked so much about pubes.
Was that really uncomfortable sitting next to Mama Sue, Ann?
Yeah.
But not because Mama Sue cares, just because Ann was... Because
I care.
Yeah.
Because I'm ridiculous.
Because my mom was probably like, oh, yes, I know about gray pubes, you know? Like, but that was a good moment. If you haven't listened to that episode, you guys should go listen.
And it was just, that was such a big deal, too, to be at the WNYC green space. Like, it was like... It felt like we made it. Like, it was so white glove. Like, you walked in and it was gorgeous. And the WNYC brand is so powerful. It's like, they're the home of Nancy. They're the home of, like, Adulting Michelle Buteau's podcast. I was just like, we made it.
And they brought us back. So they liked us.
They did.
They really, really liked us.
Ann's turn. What do you got for us, Ann?
Oh, I think it's not actually a moment from the podcast, but I have a couple of friends that I work with that are, like, big fans.
Obsessed.
They're
with us? With us?
I don't know about obsessed. Like, but they're listen. Big fans, and they're a straight woman. Meyer is a single mom by choice. She had, and I think that's one of the reasons why she started watching or listening to the
podcast. Yeah, because she just had her baby.
I don't necessarily listen to the podcast when it first comes out because when I was commuting to work, it wasn't long enough for the commute. So I listened to the news in the morning and I'd get to work and Egler and Meyer would already be talking about the episode with me. And I'm like, oh, I didn't actually listen yet.
I don't actually support my wife.
Or then like other people, like when that magazine article came out and there was a picture of the family in it. Like people at work are coming up to me like, oh my gosh, I saw you in a magazine. I saw the picture in a magazine. You guys look great. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
she knew it was coming, but.
Yeah. So it's.
I love how you tried to lie and be like, what? I don't know.
It's
what
so funny because which magazine was that? Gay Parent Magazine.
The Gay Parent Magazine. Yeah.
It's so funny though, because when you guys got the Dole commercial, and I know, Mary, you're probably a little similar to Anne, but I kept thinking like, oh my God, if that was us and I had like bamboozled Anne into submitting the family and then we actually got the freaking thing, she would be so mad at me. If
I wouldn't want to do it.
No, it would have been.
Mary's a closet actress. Mary you is a closet so performer. Well.
It was fun. It was, but it was us. You know, it wasn't like we were.
I know, but you were really.
It wasn't
real.
Molière.
You were really good at that.
Yeah, it was really good.
I mean, so our kids were even annoying us on the shoot. It was not a difficult, like, we did not have to really, like, you know.
Should have just filmed
what's
that.
My motivation? Like, we were like, if they had just filmed us in the green room being like, put that down. This is not our house.
Yeah, basically.
Like, it would have been fine. No, they would have gotten the same thing.
But Mary, like, Anne would have killed me.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been happy with
that. It would have been like a week long, I think, quiet
like,
fight.
If someone told me, like, you can get $1 million to be on a commercial that's going to air nationwide, I would really seriously have to think about it. I'm like, I don't know.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I don't think I want to.
Oh, I've been making Mary submit to things for like a decade. Like, it's like as soon as
we never ever get it. So it's like, always just like, whatever.
You know how much I love Dolly. I basically emulated Dolly and I married a Carl Dean who just doesn't want to be. And I'm not saying you're like a man. That's not what I'm saying. I'm like,
I know what you meant.
He doesn't want to be in the spotlight. Until you said he's it. Never right. show. Like, she would like to just, she'd just be on the side. That's fine. She doesn't need to be a part of the spotlight.
Yeah.
So my takeaway there is we're famous at Anne's school.
Yep.
Yes. At Anne's school.
At Anne's school.
With like three people.
All right.
There's about 150 staff.
What I heard was more obsessed.
More than the people that I know that are at my job that watch it, which
Mary
is none.
Listening to us like season 2. Well,
No. I stopped listening when I stopped commuting. Yeah.
That's me. Yes.
That was the last day that I commuted was the last day that I
right. And
to
I
it.
Took a I took a car ride 2 weeks ago and I was in the car for over an hour and I listened to an episode. Hold on.
Thanks, Anne.
It has been such an experience having you guys record in the house while we're here and like having it. I'm sure Anne, you do too. Like having it always, you know, it's like you're in the background and you're just like, shut up. Mom is recording right now.
I bought a little mini projector that was like $70. So I take them in their bedroom with the mini projector and make it like it's a little movie theater in there for them.
Oh, that's smart.
Oh, that's nice.
The problem is with this, it's great. It's a wonderful idea and it's really fun.
Doesn't sound like it's going to be great.
The problem is they don't like the same movies because they're such different ages.
We know this.
Yeah, you got to do double feature.
So you can't please both of them. So either the 2-year-old is running around and doing whatever he wants or the 6-year-old is complaining because she hates animated stuff. You know, like there's no.
Yeah.
So, but it is. We tried it last night too. We did it in our room. It was fun.
Yeah, that never goes away, by the way. It's still like that.
All right. I think you're up, Jamie.
All right. Okay. Oh, this one's fun. So this is not an episode. We just recently, like we're always telling you guys, we get emails. We get emails a lot from people saying, you know, thanks for doing this. We really love listening, things like that. We also get some criticisms emails, not necessarily criticisms.
Well, we try to address those when they come in.
Yeah. But this email that we got recently was from Wendy Peoples. She's a listener. And I'm just going to read to you a little part of what she wrote because it was just so wonderful. And I think it's actually going to be a helpful email for some people who are just deciding to start trying. And I never realized that this could, when we started this podcast, Robin, I didn't think this was going to be a resource. I didn't know what the heck I thought this was going to be. I just thought we need to tell our stories, you know? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it's becoming a resource for people who are trying to go down different paths, and they use us to find out what to do. And anyway, so here's what she wrote. It's really touching. First, she gave us an elevator pitch. She said, here's our elevator pitch. My wife, 29, and I, 29, have known each other since we were 12. We went from best friends to enemies to FWB, friends with benefits, get it, to lovers, to partners, to wives. We married in the midst of the pandemic and plan on TTC this summer. I learned that that means trying to conceive. I never knew all these things, but now I know because of the podcast.
That's big in the groups, in the forums.
Yeah.
My wife is an assistant professor of criminal justice, and I'm a newly unemployed nanny and newborn care specialist. We were totally lost, but within the last 2 weeks of listening to your podcast, my wife and I set up an appointment with Dr. Duty in Bedford, Texas. We were both born in Dallas, Texas, but recently moved to rural Nebraska for my wife's job. And it's as culturally inept as you'd imagine. We are seeking reciprocal IVF via the Invacell device, which we had an episode about. We plan on trying this summer while my wife is on summer break in Dallas. We'd love to share our journey with you. Overall, we want to say thank you. You may have saved us tens of thousands of dollars. Hopefully that was under 30 seconds if you said it really fast. It might be a little long, Wendy. But then she says, I've legit been writing notes on several episodes of ITOCT, particularly episodes Two Wombs, One Baby, Season 4, Episode 12, Legalese and LGBTs, Season 1, Episode 14, Your Legal Questions Answered, Season 4, Episode 7, Money and Molly, Season 3, Episode 7, and of course the episodes with Romaine and Iris. I've listened to DNR since I was 17. This is why I love this, because she just did some work for us and mapped out which episodes you can listen to if you are trying to start your baby-making journey as an LGBT or a Q.
So these were a lot of the ones that were the inspiration for the book, too, these chapters, that the themes.
Yeah.
It's just so, like you were saying, it's so nice. Like, when we first, I remember the very first email we got, and it was like, Jamie, well, I got an email. Like, somebody liked what we're doing. And it's like, at first, it was just that feeling of, like, validation. Mm-hmm. Because we always say to people, like, we're putting this thing out into the void, and we have no idea. That you don't really get feedback in real time unless you're doing a live show. And you know, we're both performers at heart, so there's that feeling of wanting feedback. And so in the beginning, it was that. But then over time, it really shifted and changed to this feeling of the community that's being created. That's like the, and it's, I don't take credit for it. Jamie doesn't take credit for it. It's, we're just like creating a space where people can tell their stories, and those stories are helping other people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been really, like, every one of the emails that we get, Jamie and I forward to each other because we're so moved by every email.
Yes.
Even when people are mad at us, they still say nice things.
For the most part, yeah.
Generally speaking.
Yeah, actually, yes.
We always respond to everybody, but sometimes it just like takes us a minute.
Yeah.
But we appreciate all of it.
Also, we don't have assistants. It's us. So if you have written us an email in the past and you never got a response, you should just send it again because it might have just gotten lost.
Jamie,
in
say
the
it in corporate
shuffle.
Speak. Say it in corporate speak.
You might want to float that to the top of our inbox.
Jamie,
did
you know that no two migraines are alike? I mean, if you have a migraine, you know this, right? You know this. Mm-hmm. And that's why Cove helps you find an FDA-approved treatment that works for your migraine. Not just mine, but yours.
I mean, that's great. Cove helps you get the migraine relief you need, and it's all online.
Yes, which I love. All you have to do is go to withcove.com and complete a quick online consultation. And then a licensed doctor is going to recommend a treatment plan that's customized to your migraine, and your prescription will be delivered to your door for as little as $10 a month.
It is that easy. That's great.
It is great.
Yeah, just a few minutes of your time and you get a personalized treatment plan from 20 plus research-backed doctor-recommended migraine medications.
Interesting. That's hardcore. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to worry about running out because each month Cove is going to send you your migraine meds. Each month, to your door.
That is right up your alley, Robin.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no insurance needed. You have no trip to the pharmacy. All online. Meds sent right to your door. So cool.
So with Cove, you can have more migraine-free days. I mean, when Mary gets a migraine, which, you know, happens because she lives in our house, she's down for like the whole day. And that is really terrible. So I'm super excited for her to try this out.
I'm excited for her to try it too. They've treated over 300,000 migraine attacks and counting. Robin, did you know that?
I didn't.
Yeah. So go to withcove.com to see their reviews. 96% of customers give them 5 stars.
That's amazing. So be like Mary and get the relief that you need right now with Cove.
Yeah. Go to withcove.com/OCT for 50% off your first month of medication and free 2-day shipping.
Come on. That's 50% off your first month of medication and free 2-day shipping. Come on. withcove.com/OCT.
Spelled withcove.com/OCT.
No more headaches.
Get those migraines under control.
All right, who's up?
So my last moment that, and it's not last. I mean, this is the thing. It's like, it was very hard to like pick a couple, but we don't want the episode to be 14 hours because
it's already too long. The purpose. We know
exactly. You guys are done with us. But it's hard to pick, but like this one stood out at me was Mother Mary. And I think she was season 4, I believe. And she was this woman who started fostering and is running the You Gotta Believe organization, or part of the You Gotta Believe organization, which is their whole mission is to no kid will ever age out of foster care without an adoption or a permanent home. And like that mission is daunting. But there was something about her, like Seth Radetzky told us, you got to talk to her. And I was like, okay. So we started chatting and I had a great phone conversation with her. And I was like, Jamie, we're going to love her. She came in and we must have talked for almost 2 hours.
So long.
And then when she left, Jamie and I got a bottle of wine and we sat there and just talked for another hour. I was crying. I had no idea why I was crying, but there was something. She was so powerful and so warm.
Touching.
And just such a mother figure. And that's always going to be a thing for me because, you know, like my childhood was a little wonky. But like, I just, being in her presence felt so, I don't want to say like safe, but just like, I just felt like there was a love, there was an energy, and she was just an amazing woman. And that interview was so special to me.
She took in so many older children. This is all about taking in older kids who, like in the system, people don't want older kids. And she took in so many children. She is a mother to so many children, and she did it so selflessly. And I think that was what was so moving and touching. Yeah. But like, you know, these children came to her with...
Some of them were stealing from her.
Horrible pasts, yes.
And she would just be like, that's okay. They're just like in a place.
She always kept in mind where they were coming from, and she just embodies like... selfless love.
She was a special lady.
You know, it was really messy for 6 months because I really didn't know what I was doing. But finally, you know, what I say is that the girls taught me what they needed from me was simply to sort of be committed to them, to be there, not to be like everybody else had been and just be temporary and conditional and get rid of them if they misbehaved. There was a point at which a number of the girls would do things. They'd steal money or jewelry or something like that and run away. And I didn't know, you know, what was going on. So when I was able to reconnect with a couple of them, I would say, so, you know, did I do something wrong? What could I have done better? And, I was trying to learn. And they said, no, actually, you know what it was? It was too good to be true. Mm-hmm. It was not going to last. So we decided to sort of have a little bit of control over our situation for once. So we decided we were going to do what we do, steal as much as we could, and leave before you threw us out. So what it really taught me, like it was a real wake-up call, that they don't expect you to keep them.
No.
Their experience has been they're going to be put out for some behavior.
She's amazing. She's beautiful. I love her.
But all 4 of us went to the You Gotta Believe event. She invited us with our lady friends.
Our wife.
Yeah, you left your lady friend at home and I went with you that night.
Hey, Mary. Hey, Mary. That was such a fun night. But what was your experience of her?
It's a lot like that We'll Take Him couple. You know, it's just like that people are capable of such openness, and generosity is so incredibly touching, because I feel so out of patience and not generous most days, you know, and I'm just like, but what about me? Yeah. I haven't been alone for 5 minutes, you know.
7 months.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
To be able to give that much, like, I don't have mm-hmm. that much in me to give. Like, I just don't think I have it in me.
Oh, but you do, Anne. Oh, but you do.
Well, I just want to say, you know, it's been so nice to have you guys in here with us to do this, but I also want to say, like, Jamie, I can't believe we did this, like, that we made 100 episodes that, I mean, like, we've been very honest about, you know, like, arguments or tough patches that we've had, or, like, the work that we have to put in to make sure that we both, I think we always respect one another, but I think to make sure that we're on the same page and moving things forward together. And I'm very proud of us, and I thank you. This is a big deal. Like, I'm gonna start crying.
I know,
like,
are you gonna cry?
I'm crying like a bitch. I'm crying like a bitch up in here. But I just
smack her. Smack her.
But I snap out of it.
I'm so proud of us, like, for what we've done and just for the space that we're creating. And I'm so excited about the community that's being created. I don't know. I just think this has been good. So
agreed. Everything you said, same. Agreed.
Cosign. I'm as moved by your words, Jamie, as you are by mine. Cosign. Max.
Get that off the counter. No, totally. It's really, I can't believe it. And I think that, and I've had this thought recently, everything I've ever started with a partner, the partner ends up giving up. And I'm always like, no, we're doing this. This is happening. We were going to do this. Like, I had my own home cleaning service when I was a starving actress, Pixie Cleaners. I did. It was on Craigslist. It was me and my ex, and we would go to people's Pixie houses cleaner. And clean. And I was like, this is going to go far. We are going to make this happen. This is going to happen. We're going to make a business. And she gave up. And everybody always gives up. And I'm always like, wait. No. But the thing that I keep coming back to recently is you're not giving up. Which is crazy to me, because everybody always gives up. We're not going to give up on this. We are both really, really, really committed to keeping this podcast going and keeping this community building and growing and getting our stories out there.
And these two ladies, too. I mean, like, this would not be possible. Yeah, I mean, this would not be possible without you guys. Like, Mary's always been so incredibly supportive of any of the work I do. We've had many conversations about how she gives feedback on writing. I'm like, can you just give me a compliment sandwich, please? I'm like, before you say that you don't like this, could you at least say two nice things just before you say
act all excited. The things that, just
look like you liked the idea, then say, here's how you could make it better. But Mary has, in particular, when things were starting to, like, do well, it's like this podcast and this thing that we're building was at a point where it was kind of like, there's so much to be done and all these opportunities were coming, but I couldn't manage it while working full time. And Mary was the one who was like, quit, you know, and that's incredibly generous, especially when you have kids. And so I'm super thankful to both of you. I mean, Anne, sorry, more to Mary, but also to you for always giving Anne the space.
She's like, you ruined my family.
More to Anne. Anne is Helen, the secret revealed. But for giving
I
Jamie.
I wish, because that means I could have a cigarette.
Oh, there you go.
Smoke up, Johnny. Co-sign. But for giving us, Jamie, you know, and creating the space on your end, too. Because you guys, our kids are a little bit older than yours, and I know it's a lot. So
thank you, Mary. Thanks for always being there.
Also, for being our brand design. Mm-hmm. That's right. I mean, Mary was like literally like, no, that's not our font. I was like, we have a font? She was like, yes.
That's the wrong pink.
She's
what are
like,
you doing?
Have a color number? You have a font? Yeah, you have a brand identity?
I wouldn't know that either.
But I think it's like sometimes Robin will get to get so down on like, oh my God, I have all this to do. And like life is hell because I am so busy and I don't have enough time. And this is all making me crazy. And it's like, you need to like really appreciate what you guys have done. Like you wrote a book, for God's sake, and it's out, and it's you know, like all these great things are happening to you, and you need to take that in.
Yeah, that's not my forte.
It's hard to do that. I suppose.
No, she's always like the next thing. Always, it's like the literally within an hour of me getting out of debt, she was looking at apartments.
It's true, I was.
I feel like I should also say I'm really thankful for Anne's sacrifices too that she's made, because I don't think I said it yet, but I am. You know, she has to watch two very young kids every time.
And that's a lot. Yeah. That really is a lot.
And she has to keep them quiet, which is not easy. And it doesn't always work out, but she tries. She takes them outside and it's hard. It's really hard. And she's working full time.
December recording is going to be tough.
Yes, I agree.
We're going to figure it out.
All right. Well, let's say this. Our book is out now. If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We've Learned About Making an LGBTQ Family. And it's available at all major retailers, Kindle, print, hardcover, and hopefully at the time of this recording, not yet, but hopefully soon, the audiobook with us truly reading it is available on Amazon and iTunes.
And it's good.
Yeah, and if you've read it, even if you haven't read it, don't be afraid to review us on Amazon or Goodreads.
Yeah, just say you love us. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's all. Doesn't funny, matter. Informative, and necessary in this world.
Robin's
that's
really
it.
Good at feeding the words too. If you don't know what to say,
so it's true. It's true.
Send them an email.
Yeah,
send an email, and I'll craft a review
she
for
will.
You.
She'll do it.
Oh wait,
for you.
And so we're going to put you two on the spot and make you read our social media tags. Tell everyone where to get us.
So let's keep the conversation going. Join us on social. Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, and now Facebook. Support the podcast and join our community on Patreon, patreon.com/ovariestalk. Don't forget, you get bonus content.
You do.
Subscribe to us on YouTube to see recordings of our live streams. Don't forget, our live streams are on Facebook at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursdays.
Don't forget, come to us live.
Thank you to our sponsors, Sorella Styles and Cove, and a big, big, big thank you to all our patrons for helping us make this show a possibility. Thank you.
We thank you. We really do.
Aww. Should we do a joint eggs ovaries out? Should we do it all together?
I think so.
We should bring in Helen. Helen, get in here for this
Helen,
one.
Helen, come
100
on.
100 episodes. Get in here, Helen.
You're so mean to her.
I know. She just
gave you the finger.
She's lazy. She's flipping me off. Henry, you want to come say goodbye?
You got clothes on?
You got clothes on.
You have to stay off camera.
He has clothes on.
Come on. They're just so concerned for our children. Do you have clothes on? All right, ready?
Okay.
We all say it together. You want to say eggs, ovaries out, Henry?
Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay. Okay. All right. Are we ready?
Ready?
Yeah.
Eggs.
Ovaries.
Out. That went well.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, eggs, ovaries out.